Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
Finally, guys, we got rid of him. Jay is off, no doubt recuperating after a wild weekend out with Zay Jones.
Yeah, don't know about that. I'm not participating in this podcast, but I'm not forgotten.
Becoming a personal hero of mine. Andy's a rocket scientist.
Thanks, Patrick. So what are you guys going to do today without me?
We're going to have a little game of who's better, or even better, who's worse, which I like much better.
You got an example?
The biggest loss the Steelers suffered was losing Greg from our podcast.
All right, NFL free agency. Who got better? Who got worse? Here we go.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winning.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Here we are, Next Fan Up podcast. This is your Washington Redskins superfan, Neil. And hey, finally, guys, we got rid of him. Jay is off, no doubt recuperating after a wild weekend out with Zay Jones. Well, it feels like a kind of British podcast today, because the first time on this Thursday show, I can say, joining me from across the pond, we've got Jimmy and Paddy. So, Jimmy, James, our Texans superfan, how are you doing over there across the pond?
Doing well, Neil. It's like 10 or 15 degrees C here. It's sunny. Probably nothing like what you're used to over in Scotland, Aberdeenshire.
Yeah, today was the first day of the year where we've had 10 degrees centigrade in the car. You guys both drive, I'm sure. And over here in our car, you have a temperature gauge thing, and when it's 4 to 5 degrees centigrade or below, you get a little snowflake which comes up next to the temperature. Well, this week, it's the first week this year where we haven't had that little snowflake next to our temperatures in the car. So I was out today on the bike, and it was great. So also joining us, Patrick, over there in Boston. What's the weather like in Boston, Patrick?
It's snowing, Neil, which is one of the reasons why I'm picking up steaks and leaving Massachusetts. I'm tired of this.
Has it been a particularly rough winter?
No, it's been a particularly mild winter, which makes me realize, wow, winter sucks. Like, even when the mild winters are terrible, like, it's just not a good thing.
You know, I like winter on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and then after that, winter can go and disappear.
I like snow in Christmas movies. I think that's the appropriate place for it.
That's right. Well, okay, hopefully your snow ends quite soon, Patrick, because Christ, man, it's April next week, or it is here.
Yeah, dude, it's spring.
Yeah, spring. Mm-hmm. Oh, should be. Right, we've got some, we've got a bit of news. Obviously, the guys did a podcast on Sunday. Were either, James, you were on the podcast on Sunday, weren't you?
Indeed.
Yeah, so hopefully, we won't talk over too many of those signings. If we hit any signings that are that you covered on Sunday, just press a buzzer. Let me know. Otherwise, we'll look at the free agent signings. We're going to have a little game of who's better, or even better, who's worse, which I like much better. And then we will have a wee chat, James, about the cost of trading up and how trading up actually works. Hopefully you can bamboozle us with some fancy draft chart, which I'm still using the Jimmy Johnson one, which is probably what, way out of date. Then we've got the best of the free agent guys that are left. But we have to start with a trade which went down about an hour ago, an hour and a half ago. And I have to say, Adam Schefter, that guy needs to get out more, because he was he referred to this trade as a blockbuster trade. And I'm not sure. Well, for a start, Blockbuster went out of business about, 20 years ago, Patrick?
Somewhere around there. I used to work at a video store at the same time, and it was my nemesis.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, so this so-called blockbuster trade saw the New York Giants trading JPP to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, together with a fourth-round selection, which I work out is to be pick 102 in the draft, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yeah, for the 2018 third and fourth round picks of the Bucs. And those are picks 69 and 108. Last year, JPP, He had 8.5 sacks. He did play over 1,000 snaps for the Giants, 91, almost 92% of their snap count on defense, but maybe not the player he was. And if any of you guys make any fireworks jokes, you're out. Patrick, what do you think of this trade?
Oh God, no, I feel pressured to make like a Katy Perry joke, but I'm not going to even try. It'd be awful. So, I think typical of what we're seeing this year, and we saw a lot of it last year too, where it's a player trade, but also involves the swapping of picks. And you know, the criticism is it makes it difficult to analyze like who won out in the trade. I don't know that it does, like, because what you really need to do is take the player, right, on one hand that the other team is acquiring, and then give up the point value for the picks that they're giving up, offset by the point value of the pick that they're acquiring, and you take into consideration the cash value that they're assuming against the cap for the spend for that veteran player, right? And then what you're left with is like, okay, what is the commensurate point value that we're acquiring as the trading team? And like, the equation shouldn't be that tough to do. Like, I'm sure James could do it in his sleep. You know, but on its surface, I think the most obvious and glaring thing is that this in no way represents a blockbuster trade. It's an aging, declining veteran being exchanged for, at best, the equivalent of a mid-round pick. Like, who cares?
The funny thing,
James, do you care?
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing for me, James, was that they're not actually saving a whole lot of money on the cap this year.
No, they're not. But I mean, this is—I wouldn't call it a five-finger discount of the Jet or the Giants to trade up a little bit. Maybe a four-finger discount. But like, it's been going on for a couple of years how JPP is just not in the long-term plans of the Giants. So. You know, was it outside the realm of possibility that the Giants even, you know, may have cut him at the end of training camp? You know, maybe he wasn't even going to be on the active day roster. And then the other interesting thing from the Giants side is that if there are a bunch of teams trying to trade up to that number two pick, this gives the Giants some extra ability to kind of give change on some picks. So like, if there's a team out there, like the Bills, for example, that don't want to give up like maybe next year's first round pick in addition to all of their second round picks and this year's first round pick to move up to two, maybe the Giants can then turn around and say, well, look, you know, we have this extra third round pick. We can give this to you as change. You know, it's just it's helping them get picks so that they can better match up a deal for that number two overall pick should they decide to trade it.
So based on that then, the question to both of you, Patrick first, Giants sitting at number two, does it make it more likely they take a quarterback or more likely they trade out with this trade, or does it have no effect at all?
The trade of JPP?
Yeah.
It depends on who's sitting there on their bench, and like, you know their roster better than I do, being a division rival. But my assumption is that they would stand pat at this point, because there's only, by all accounts, there's only one legitimate edge rusher available in this draft. And if you want them and you're sitting at number two, that's where you would pick that guy up. Like the other possibility, I suppose, is they trade down, but still stay within like, you know, the top five. Which sounds idiotic, except that kind of happened last year with Chicago. Like maybe that's their plan, is, you know, stay within like the elite lottery pick level, and pick up an edge defender to replace JPP, while still acquiring legitimate extra picks so that they can round out the rest of their roster with depth, pick up a running back, you know, yada, yada, yada.
James?
Yeah, I don't think it makes it any more likely or less likely than what it was yesterday. It just gives them more options. So, you know, if they had a, you know, a 75% shot of trading out of the number two pick yesterday, I still think that they're, you know, leaning towards, you know, 75% wanting to trade out of it. But if you're looking at a team like the Jets, maybe they can now bluff the Jets into saying, hey guys, you know, we're going to trade, you know, maybe we really are going to take, you know, the number two quarterback off the board, you know, or maybe we're going to trade it down to the Bills. You know, what do you want to do to move up one spot? And even if it turns into doing just like a pick swap in the third, so the Giants now give them Tampa's third round pick and they get the Jets' third round pick in exchange, it's just giving them a couple extra options at their disposal.
Mm. Well, I have to say, I, as a obviously a division rival there, JPP, yeah, he's not the player he once was, either against the pass or the run. So I think the Giants have got a good deal here. Couple of sort of decent picks for him, and eventually get all that salary. It was a 4-year, $62 million contract. I'm not sure how much of that was guaranteed, James, but they'll certainly save some cap space down the line. Only $2.5 million this year.
Yeah, I mean, down the line they'll save a couple. They'll save some more, but again, like it wasn't written in stone with the way that the cap savings and the dead money comes along that he was a for sure part of this year's team.
Mm, sure.
Much less okay. Future years.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's move on then, and let's go to free agency. Obviously, it's quieting down a considerable amount, and what's the experts always tell us it. Now the first week or two is out of the way. All the major moves have gone. This is when the good teams come in and make signings. So, cue a lot of signings for Washington, obviously. Maybe the odd one or two for you guys' teams. Let's go through the teams, and I will give you the sort of main comings and goings from the teams, and you guys can give me a sort of like, is this team better now than they were at the end of the season? Is that team, you know, on the move in a positive direction, or is this just like, well, James, you and I were talking before we started recording about going to a car boot sale where you buy somebody else's old crap and then it becomes your old crap. So we can see if any of these teams have actually added some decent talent to their roster, or if it's just shifting stuff around for the sake of it. Arizona Cardinals, they of course brought in Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon as quarterbacks for their depth chart. They brought in Andre Smith from the Bengals and Justin Pugh from the Giants. So some offensive line work there. But going from the Cardinals, you got Peterson, who was released. Adrian Peterson, happy birthday, Adrian. It was your birthday this past week. Tyrann Mathieu, who was released and was picked up by the Texans, of course, James. Wide receiver John Brown went to the Ravens. Kareem Martin and Josh Mauro, a couple of defensive players, and some other guys I haven't heard of, plus Matt Barkley and Xavier Williams. Are the Cardinals better, Patrick? Worse?
Can I get away with the same?
Yeah, you can. Do you think it's helped them in terms of their upcoming draft, that they can focus maybe more on the
if
best player available?
I'm going to go crazy.
They're surely going to go quarterback.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, that's the whole idea of free agency, right? Like, if ideally, in an ideal world, you're filling out your starting rosters on both sides of the ball with veterans, if need be, so that you're comfortable going into the draft, so that you can get the best player available and replenish your pipeline. You know, in the last, I don't know, 15 years, I don't know how practical that's been. You know, but with the rapidly expanding cap, I think what we're seeing is more value being placed on veterans than on draft picks. And you do see teams that are able to get closer to that, where they're more comfortable with who their starters are. I don't know, man. I think that might qualify for the Cardinals. I just don't feel, I don't know about you guys, I don't feel like super excited, like, whoa, Cardinals really turned a corner here.
No.
Can't wait to see how they compete in that division. Like, not really.
I guess the big thing for the Cardinals, James, is can Bradford and Glennon give them some stability at quarterback over, what's it been, Palmer and Stanton?
Yeah, the answer to that is going to be no.
Nope.
Mike Glennon was beaten out by Mitchell Trubisky last year, and Sam Bradford they're so confident in Sam Bradford's ability to get on the field, and I mentioned this on Sunday, that they're giving him a roster bonus of a per-game roster bonus just to be available to play. So, yeah, that they're comfortably still going to be in the fourth spot of that division. You know, maybe they can move up to third, but that's only if other teams kind of play down to their level.
I will say in defense of the Cardinals that a per-game incentive bonus for you know, for Bradford basically means unlikely to be reached incentives. All right, let's push that cap burden off on your $20 million deal. Although, it's funny, but it's also true. In your question, Neil, was can they be stable with these two journeyman players? No, they can't be stable with two players. Two players implies instability.
True. I was thinking more that for Bradford for a few games, and then once he gets injured, as he's inevitably going to do, as you were hinting at there, can Glennon help them out better than what's he called? Stanton?
Palmer? No.
Yeah.
They're in better position entering last year than they are entering this year.
Okay, right, let's get moving. Move this on a bit. Atlanta Falcons, obviously a playoff team from last year. They added a guard, Brandon Fusco, and tight end, Logan Paulson. They shifted out quite a few players. Adrian Claiborne, of course, went to you guys. Patrick, Dontari Poe, Taylor Gabriel, Derek Shelby all went out. Atlanta, James, better? More prepared for this season?
I mean, a little bit worse, and that also has to do with the fact that, you know, New Orleans kind of stepped up in the end of the season, and Carolina stepped up. They're going to have to work on their defense, specifically their defensive line. But yeah, other than that, you know, it's not a horrible place to be. They'll still be competitive, you know, potentially get a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the Baltimore Ravens, they brought in, well, wide receiver crazy. They brought in poor Ryan Grant and then kicked him out again because of some quack who said he wasn't fit. Then they brought in John Brown from the Cardinals and Crabtree from the Raiders. They lost a number of guys. Ryan Jensen, their center, Jeremy Maclin, Danny Woodhead, Ladarius Webb. All guys maybe past their best. Baltimore Ravens ready for a big push, Patrick?
Nope.
James?
Nope, they're running a bunch of receivers that aren't going to get the balls. Whatever.
Yeah, agreed. James?
Almost looks like they're waiting for – yeah, they're worse off. It's almost like they're waiting for Flacco's contract to reset before they can make a good run for things.
Yeah, agreed. Then one, Buffalo Bills, one of the biggest movers. They signed, my goodness, loads of players. Some of the highlights there, Star, Lutolele, Trent Murphy from the Redskins, A.J. McCarron, obviously quarterback. And everything for the Bills seems to be centering around the quarterback position. And, yeah, they may be struggling with the Jets usurping them in the draft moves. Buffalo Bills, Patrick, going in the right direction? You're hoping not, I guess.
I'm hoping not, but I think they are. I mean, they didn't. I mean, Tyrod Taylor notwithstanding, they didn't really lose much, and they brought in, you know, like good core components for their defense. So, you know, and a couple of journeyman quarterbacks. I think they're in good shape.
Yeah. Okay, James, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they overachieved last year, and so. Like they're going to be judged against that, which is kind of unfair because if they finish the same, I'd say that their team improved overall. You know, they just didn't overachieve. Now they just kind of achieved, and they put themselves in a good spot where if they want to trade up and grab a quarterback, they probably can do that. If not, though, they have so many picks that they can get a whole lot of good young talent, and then they'll at least be trending in the right direction.
Okay, then we move on to the Chicago Bears. Obviously, their big signing was Allen Robinson coming in from the Jaguars, the wide receiver. They also added some speed with Taylor Gabriel and a couple of backup quarterbacks. What were the Chicago Bears? Lost quite a lot in defense, too, there, Patrick. Guys like Jarrell Freeman and Pernell McPhee. But Bears got the quarterback in place?
They have a quarterback in place. I didn't see anything from him. I was like, wow, this guy's the next coming of Tom Brady. But I think they're probably about the same. You know, bringing in Gabriel and Burton probably help. Otherwise, that's kind of it. And their losses on defense, who cares? The defense was awful anyway.
Mm-hmm. They did manage to keep Kyle Fuller. They matched the offer sheet that was given to him by the Packers. So he's signed up 4 years, $56 million. Good signing there. Chicago Bears, James. Let's go to the Cincinnati Bengals, James. Cincinnati, they brought in, Cordy Glenn from the Bills, a couple of defensive players in Baker and Preston Brown. But they also lost A.J. McCarron, Andre Smith, Jeremy Hill. Are they another team who are just kind of meandering along?
I mean, that's Marvin Lewis's cruise control, man, meander. I think they're a little bit worse off. I mean, because on paper, they're very similar as last year. So it's basically last year's team, just another year older. And last year's team didn't do exactly, great. So, yeah, I think they are just worse off by the fact that, as you get older and as Marvin Lewis remains your coach, you're just kind of set there to stagnate.
Okay, and it looks like we've been joined by our San Diego superfan, Ken. How are you doing, Ken?
Doing fantastic. How are you, Neil?
I'm doing well. Your voice is broken.
Oh, my goodness. Is this better?
No, it's terrific. So we're just going through it team by team. We'll just throw you in there to the deep end with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns have they've signed almost anybody who was potentially available in the universe. Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor, traded for Demaryius Russell, Randall from the Packers. Joe Thomas is retired. Great player. Probably a future Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer, I would guess. And lots of other bits and pieces of players. Do you think Cleveland are in a better position now than they were at the end of the season, Ken?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they went 0-16. But it's very clear that they've gone all in with, their assets. This is the year that they're targeting, which kind of sucks that Joe Thomas isn't there because I think he's probably the best player that I've seen play from start to finish since I've started watching football. But, yeah, Jarvis Landry led the league in receptions. I still think Hugh Jackson is a decent offensive coach, but – we'll find out this year. They had to do something.
Yep, that's true. Eddie, Patrick, what do you think, Cleveland?
On the surface, I think they got much better. And, Ken's right. Like, they were going to get worse. Losing their best, literally their best player in the last 10 years in Joe Thomas sucks. And I think that Danny Shelton trade to the Patriots is going to be impactful, not necessarily because it means losing Danny Shelton, but it also implies a conversion to a different defensive scheme. But then again, maybe they're going to be better for that conversion. So all in all, probably a much better situation.
Okay. Dallas Cowboys, James, they brought in a guy called Joe Thomas. I hope they didn't realize it wasn't that Joe Thomas they brought in. It was the inside linebacker from the Packers. Otherwise, they've lost a few guys on defense. Anthony Hitchens went to the Chiefs. Scandrick went to the Redskins. Blimey. So really, the Cowboys, they've done nothing, really.
Right, they've done nothing, but I think they're a little bit better just from the stance that they're not going to have to worry about the Zeke Elliott suspension. Dak will be in there for his third year. Kind of the opposite Cincinnati Bengals, where if you have an old roster and you kind of stand pat, that's not really a good thing. With the Cowboys, they're more or less the same, maybe trending a little bit better just because of the lack of court case and a little bit more experience for their quarterback.
Yep, and they will also obviously keep DeMarcus Lawrence, who they franchised, didn't they? So he'll stay. Right, Denver Broncos, Patrick. Denver brought in Case Keenum at quarterback, who, of course, was the guy they wanted all along. So that's good news. Trevor Siemian has gone. Aqib Talib has gone. What about the Broncos? bit odd there in Denver now.
Yeah, they're I don't know, probably the same trending worse. Depends on how you feel about Case Keenum versus Trevor Siemian. I think they're the same dude. And otherwise, their moves are pretty well nondescript. They lost to Tlaib, like, so that probably makes them worse, I guess, and everything else is irrelevant.
Yep. Okay, then let's move on to Detroit. Ken and Detroit have brought in LeGarrette Blount, who will be looking for, what, his third consecutive Super Bowl win with a different team this year. So no pressure on Detroit there. They also brought in, I'm looking through these names and thinking, who do I know? Kenny Wiggins, he sounds like a country singer, so he was from the Chargers. Luke Wilson's coming.
He's not very good.
He's not very good. Well, he'll well, hopefully he'll do better for the Lions. And they've gotten rid of Haloti Ngata, went to the Eagles, and nobody else. What about Detroit? Are they they're not getting any better, are they?
No, they're not. And actually, I'm glad you gave me Detroit, because they're a perfect example of a hot evidence for a hot take that I have later, which is they're in cap hell. They can't really do anything in free agency. They had to let Haloti Ngata go. Didn't even get that much of a, you know, he's not being paid very much by the Eagles next year. You know, they're in cap hell, so they couldn't do much. You know, they have Matt Patricia, who I don't really think is a defensive genius. Maybe he's a good head coach. Who knows? But they're kind of locked in with Stafford. He's has a huge cap number, and what else can they really do? They kind of just got to get lucky in the draft, I guess.
Patricia is a player's coach. He's the kind of player's coach that wears a T-shirt openly mocking the commissioner of the NFL in a public photo.
Okay, so
yeah,
he's becoming a personal hero of mine. And he's a rocket scientist.
For me, the best thing they did was to keep Jim Bob Cooter in that offensive system in place through a change of head coach. That's probably a good move. Anyway, Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers brought in Mohammed Wilkerson. Somebody, you know, they obviously want some locker room leadership, so they brought him in. Jimmy Graham came in along with Deshaun Kizer, who, well, he's very similar to Aaron Rodgers in many ways, isn't he? He's got two arms and two legs. Outgoings Jordy Nelson left after many years with the Packers, and Demaryius Randle went to the Browns. So, James, Green Bay, making some moves in free agency.
Yeah, making some moves. I don't think they're moving in the right direction, though. You look at all the numbers with Rodgers having Jordy Nelson and also Jordy Nelson having Rodgers, and you know they're much better players when you know they're playing together than when they're playing with other pieces and parts. You know, you still have Mike McCarthy there. You're playing in a division with the Vikings, who seem to be getting better. You know, they're going to benefit from the fact that they play with the Lions and the Bears, who still aren't very good. So they're kind of like going to be like the inverse of the Bills from last year. They'll have a good record. They'll be competing for a playoff spot, but in reality, they're just kind of be overachieving. And, you know, they're no better, and they're probably just a little bit worse than last year.
Okay, and staying with you, James, the Houston Texans. Hey, you've gotten a lot of guys there. Aaron Colvin, Tyrann Mathieu, Sammy Coates. But you also lost some guys. Brian Cushing's gone. Tom Savage.
I mean, Cushing and Savage are an example of addition by subtraction. I'm going to say we're basically the same as what we were last year, because we still have a giant unknown for quarterback as far as can he remain healthy. Is the four or five games that he played last year indicative of what's to come, or is that just kind of a flash in the pan? So I'll say we're about the same as last year, which is, you know, not a great place to be, but at least there is cause for optimism.
Patrick, do you want to tell James why he's wrong?
No, I just thought that was a little harsh, you know, for you know, Savage. And you lost Fedorowicz, who I like.
Well, I'm sure you can have him if you want. Oh, he retired. CJ retired.
Yeah, I can't have him. Too many bumps on the noggin for that guy.
Yeah, this was only his fourth year, and I think he had more concussions than years played, and bad situation.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. Right, Ken, Indianapolis Colts, desperately praying their quarterback comes back this year. They've made that trade in the draft, as we know, traded down three spots. They've brought in Danico Autry from the Raiders. I think signing any defensive player from the Raiders is not going to make you look any better. Matt Slauson came in from you guys, the Chargers. And they finally, Ryan Grant finally found a home from a team who didn't mind his dodgy ankle. But they lost Dante Moncrief. What about the Colts? The Colts moving in a good direction for you?
I mean, yeah, they kind of hit a home run with that trade. They were in perfect position to get the best value out of that pick, and I think they certainly did that. So that was awesome for them. Other than that, you know, they got a lot of holes, and they got to pray that Andrew Luck is all right, and I think it really comes down to that. So, you know, good for them for the trade. Slauson is a decent veteran. I think the Chargers just wanted to go a little younger. I think that's why they let him go. So, I mean, we'll see. It really comes down to luck.
Yeah. James, division rival? Are you worried?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I covered it on Sunday. They're going to get a lot of cheap draft picks, and ideally should be able to turn their team around with that. So not super happy about that. But yeah, it's all going to be based on if Luck can make it back or not.
Then we come on to the best team in the AFC, Patrick, the Jacksonville Jaguars. They brought in Andrew Norwell from the Panthers guard. He was one of the sort of main free agent guys this year. That's surely got to make them better on the offensive line, you would think. They also brought in Austin Seferian Jenkins, who appeared to have turned his career around in the last 18 months or so. You worried there about the Jaguars, who lost Allen Robinson? Of course, they just released Allen Hurns, didn't they, this week?
Yeah, there's a lot of turnover there at the offensive skill positions, and the one guy that they're keeping in the backfield isn't particularly good. I'm sorry, that being their quarterback. But so I don't know. If they plan on literally just running the ball on every single play, then I guess that doesn't really matter very much. And then the addition of a guard probably helps a lot. If they plan to throw the football, then turning over your receiving core is a lot of disruption. Even if they're all individually like upgrades, I don't know that they are. Like swapping a whole group like that is kind of a bad sign. That's a big red flag to me. So I think they probably take a step back.
Division rival again for you there, James. Do you think the division champions are getting stronger?
I mean, defensively, I think they're about as strong as they're going to be. Offensively, they were definitely not good last year. Blake Bortles turned into probably the best Blake Bortles he could have been towards the end. I mean, they're basically the same. It's kind of like the old Chicago Bears or any team that was heavily, even the Denver Broncos with, you know, beating up Peyton Manning that couldn't, you know, lob the ball more than about 10 or 15 yards, similar to what Jacksonville is running right now. So they're probably the same off, which is to say above average, but, you know, limited by their quarterback.
Okay, Kansas City Chiefs, one of the bigger dealers in free agency this year, Ken. They brought in David Amerson from the Raiders, Kendall Fuller from the Redskins in the Smith trade, and paid big money to Sammy Watkins, but also lost a lot of guys. Tamba Hali has been released, one of the stalwarts there on defense. Marcus Peters in that big trade to the Rams. I kind of see, obviously, they rely a lot on what happens with Mahomes, but they're not getting better, are they? It doesn't seem like it.
No. If they didn't have Mahomes, I'd be throwing a party, but I'm really scared of Mahomes. Like, I think Mahomes is really good. And so I think that they're basically hitting reset on this Alex Smith deal. Next year doesn't matter to them, and they're building for the future. So I think they wanted to give Mahomes a big target in Sammy Watkins, so they overpaid for him. And, you know, we thought Sammy Watkins was amazing on the Bills, but he never had a quarterback. We had a quarterback last year and didn't do anything. So, cool. I'm glad they got him.
Yeah. James, what do you think with the Chiefs?
I'm going to rate the Chiefs as basically staying the same. You know, the offense will have to play a little bit better because the defense got more than a little bit worse. But, you know, they're with Andy Reid there, very good history with quarterbacks. I think he can get Mahomes up to an Alex Smith level, especially as bad as Alex Smith played kind of in the middle of the season. If he can kind of average out Mahomes to somewhere in between good Alex Smith from last year and bad Alex Smith from last year, they'll be about the same as last year, which was a playoff team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Los Angeles Chargers, Ken, you're up. You've got Mike Pouncey, the big signing this week. Again, looking for leadership in that locker room, huh?
Well, you know, the Chargers have a very, very simple plan when it comes to free agency. Don't overspend. Don't make mistakes. So you never see them sign big-time free agents in the first week. They typically get guys the second week, and they typically get guys that fill holes. So you've seen Tom Telesco do this for 5 years now, and Mike Pouncey is just another guy to add to that list who I fully expect to come in and just be better than the position was last year. We're not paying him very much. We don't need him to be great. We don't even need him to be good. We need him to be better than the restricted or the undrafted free agent we had playing center all last year. That's the only reason we signed him.
Mm.
Tom Telesco has done a brilliant job of creating a well-balanced sheet when it comes to cap space.
Yeah. What about you signed Virgil Green. I mean, you've still got Antonio Gates, and you've got, who's the other guy? You've got Hunter Henry.
Yeah, I think that's Hunter Henry insurance. I don't expect Green to play any impact in next season. I also am not sure if Gates is going to make it through all of next season. So
this has got to be like season 5 or 6 of, I don't think Antonio Gates is going to make it through the end of the season.
Yeah,
true every year.
Los Angeles Rams then, James, what do you think? The Rams have brought in, they've concentrated on their defensive backfield with Peters, Sam Shields didn't play, did he? But it was at concussions. He didn't play for that reason last year. And Aqib Talib, of course, came in from the Broncos. But they lost Quinn, Ogletree, Tremaine Johnson, Sammy Watkins. What do you think, James?
So this is going to be probably a little bit disputed. I think they're a little bit worse off than what they were last year. And that was just because last year they went in, new head coach, and wasn't expected to do a whole lot. They were still a laughing stock in the division. They were still several years away from being competitive. And I think this year, now that they actually have the pressure on, the division that they're playing in is going to get better with San Francisco getting better, but a little bit worse with Seattle getting worse. So that maybe that's a wash. But I just kind of see them as taking a little bit of a step back. From a team standpoint, they may remain the same, like talent-wise, but here's a situation similar like Buffalo, where if they play up to the level of their talent, they may go 8-8, 9-7, which would be a disappointing year, which is something that 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 is something that the fans that were back in St. Louis would have killed for, I'm sure. But I just kind of see this as being a little bit worse than last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. They have franchise-tagged LaMarcus Joyner, so really concentrating on that defensive backfield, Patrick.
I disagree. Yeah. I think the Rams are going to be super good next year.
Hmm. What do you think, Patrick?
I'm inclined to agree that they'll be good. I don't know if they're better or worse, though.
Mm.
They were good last year.
They were, yeah. Okay, Miami Dolphins. Are the Miami Dolphins just becoming a laughingstock in this league? I don't know. It's all a bit weird.
Becoming or still?
Cap hell.
Come on.
Cap
be nice.
Hell.
Yeah, cap hell.
Cap hell. Can I take this one?
Yes, please. Take it.
Yeah, I think they're in better shape. So, like, who's coming? Robert Quinn, good player. Albert Wilson, fine. Danny Amendola, a little brittle but good. Josh Sitton, good. Dan Kilgore, don't know who he is. Who's going away? And Ndamukong Suh, overpriced, bad person. Mike Pouncey, overpriced bad person. Lawrence Timmons, I have a negative opinion of him. Julius Thomas, huge disappointment. Jarvis Landry, really good player, got great value. Like, he will not be sorely missed, right? So in total, like, did they do well in this free agency period to improve the quality of their team? I would argue that they have, even though I hate them. Not like I hate the Jets, but I don't like them a lot.
Yeah, making the playoffs.
Yeah. That's not the game. The game is, did they get better or worse? And I think they got better.
Yeah, okay. So there we go. A bit of love there from one division team to another.
No.
It's touching.
Little touch of respect, love. Don't put me in that corner.
I'm welling up. I don't know about the other guys, but I'm certainly reaching for a handkerchief. Right, the Minnesota Vikings, they brought in, well, some unknown quarterback from the Redskins, Kirk Cousins. Never heard of him. Trevor Siemian also came in from the Broncos, and Sheldon Richardson came in from the Seahawks after a year there. But, of course, Case Keenum, Bradford, and Bridgewater all left, James.
Yeah, I mean, at least one of those is a good loss in Bradford. Bridgewater is kind of an unknown, obviously. I think the Vikings are, I don't want to say the same for every team. I guess I'll go with a little bit better. Case Keenum had, the best season of his career last year, which works out to a slightly above average Kirk Cousins season. So, from that standpoint, they should remain roughly the same. On offense, they'll be getting Dalvin Cook back, and they looked incredibly good. They looked even better, I should say, when they had Dalvin Cook to run the ball. So they'll be getting him back, and I think they're better off today than what they were at the end of last year, which is pretty impressive considering their season ended, on the second to last week of meaningful play.
Okay, and staying with you, Patrick, we're on to the New England Patriots. And they brought in Danny Shelton, Jason McCourty, Adrian Claiborne, but out went Martellus Bennett. Malcolm Butler, of course, left to the Titans. And Danny, never to see the playoffs again, Amendola, went to the Dolphins. Nate Solder gone.
Nate Solder is probably the biggest one on that list. Deion Lewis, yep. Jim McClellan, played some decent snaps. Batamosi started the Super Bowl for some idiotic reason. And we also brought in Jeremy Hill. So, and Cordarrelle Patterson for whatever he's worth. All in all, net total positive moves, right? So we brought in better players than the ones that we lost, I think, overall. So I'm going to say positive, although losing your left tackle kind of sucks.
Does Antonio Garcia play next year at left tackle?
Nope. He'll be lucky to be alive. He's got some pretty serious medical condition that no one knows anything about because the Patriots never reveal anything. But the dude's lost 40 pounds. Apparently he had blood clots in his lungs. That's why he didn't play last year. So
yeah. He wasn't a big guy anyway, was he?
Fair point. But now he's my size. For the right in this, I understand this is the radio, but I'm 6'4", 202. So hopefully he's a little bit bigger than that, but I think if you're under 275, it's irrelevant how small you are. You're too small to play the position.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick. Since Tom Brady's so old, and you guys probably should be looking for a young quarterback in the future, how much do you think you'd have to pay to get Jimmy Garoppolo back?
I hate you so much. I hate you so much. Your quarterback is as old as mine, by the way. In terms of.
Oh, I know. I'm scared for when he's super 40.
I'm 40. I'm 3 weeks older than Tom Brady, for the record. I have 3 kids, and I know that for each kid, it shaves 5 years off your life expectancy. So, I don't understand how your quarterback isn't dead yet.
He makes a lot of money, dude.
that's not a point in his favor in this conversation.
How many kids he's got? Is it 8 kids, Ken?
I think it's 9.
He's 2 years away from having a reality show with Cromarty, where they go to a summer camp and try to remember all their names.
Cromarty is a bad person. Rivers is a stand-up guy.
Right. Let's move
that,
quickly
that
on.
Helicopters to work.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on quickly to the New Orleans Saints. And the Saints, yeah, they made a lot of, I don't know, Tom Savage came in as a backup, Kurt Coleman from the Panthers. I'm not seeing anything that tells me they're getting better here. James?
Well, they may not be getting better, but I also don't think they're really getting worse. You know, they didn't really lose anybody. And on top of that, they did such a good job with their draft last year. It's the first time in a long time they've done well in the draft. And, you know, they're one blown defensive play away from, you know, playing against the Eagles in the NFC Championship game. So I'm going to say they stayed the same, but that's not the, you know, that's a very good bar to be at.
But I kind of threw it to you, James, because they're one of the teams who are in cap hell, no?
You know, they're, by Saints standards, they're not in cap hell. But again, that's all, you know, judging on relative basis. They've done a pretty good job of clearing all the big money contracts, all the dead money out. So they're setting themselves up for to be good, especially with just how many of their draft picks hit last year and the year before. So they're going to be in some good shape here coming up.
Okay. And the Giants, Ken, the Giants obviously sitting there with a number two pick, and we've discussed the JPP trade already today, that happened today. But they brought in Jonathan Stewart from the Packers, the running back, linebacker Alec Ogletree, Nate Solder from the Patriots, the left tackle. But they lost a few guys went out. They lost two offensive linemen in Western Richburg, which sounds like a place rather than a name of a guy. And Justin Pugh, he also left for the Cardinals. Are they better?
I think the Giants are just in a weird place in general. They kind of have to mold into a team that's looking to the future that still wants to compete now. So they're signing, they're paying big money for Nate Solder, but then they're letting guys like JPP go. So it's just interesting to see how they're maneuvering through this, because they have had a bad cap situation in the past. I think they're better, but I don't think they're good.
James, can you just tell us a little bit about this trade that's been going on in the first round and what it means to trade up for a quarterback in this year's draft or in any draft?
So basically, you were talking about the Jimmy Johnson trade value chart. The other big one out there is the Chase Stewart one. And basically, by either of those metrics, when you look at teams that are trading up to the first or second pick, so you've got the Rams, Philly, you know, your Washington Redskins a couple years ago, and now you've got the Jets trading up to three. By any of these metrics, you're paying, you know, about 2-1 or not quite 2-1 on the value. And you look at basically any other spot to trade into any trade in the first round, and the value is about 1-1 on these trade charts, or maybe, you know, you have to pay a 10% premium or a 15% premium. And that's for places like wide receiver, linebacker, defensive tackle, whatever other position that's not named quarterback. And so when the Giants are sitting there at two and are fielding offers, you know, if this was just, you know, a draft where you didn't have three or four quarterbacks available, or, you know, as surefire as all of these quarterbacks are, you know, proclaimed to be, if it was more of a, you know, 2007, I want to say draft, or, you know, basically a draft where it's, you know, maybe one quarterback, the Giants wouldn't be in such a position to try and get a huge haul. And it just goes back to, as long as you can pay your quarterback less than $20 million, or the quarterback position, if you're going to go at it, you know, New York Jets style and have a rookie in whoever they're going to draft at three, kind of an X-factor guy in Teddy Bridgewater, and then just like a journeyman. You know, if you can keep that position at $20 million or less, about 10% of your cap overall or less, it puts you at such a competitive advantage, because then you can miss on your free agent signings at other positions. You know, it doesn't hurt as much that you pay $10 million to a guy that only ends up playing, you know, 8 or 10 games, or only ends up being a rotational player. Teams have started to realize this, and as a result, if there's a quarterback available, there's just it completely rewrites the rules, and you just, it's like the housing market in Boston or any of the other major cities where, you know, it makes sense in other places where there's these rules, these values in place, But then when you go into these little bubbles, these little markets, suddenly the premium is just astronomical.
So do you think, for example, the Jets moved up from what, from 6 to 3 in the draft? Do you think they overpaid, or do you think it was a fair price, considering it's going to be a quarterback?
If they get a quarterback, it's a fair price. If they get a quarterback, it's actually, as far as a percentage goes, they overpaid less than both the Rams and Philadelphia. Granted, they're not exactly in prime position. They're going to get the third choice overall, which might be the third quarterback, might be the second quarterback. If you go off the Chase Stewart method, they basically paid 54, 55 points. Again, and that has to do with how you value, next year's pick versus this year's pick.
It feels like disinflation.
Yeah. It's kind of like that negative inflation. But then the pick that they got, that third pick, is worth about 30 points, not quite 30 points. So you're paying about 175, 180% premium for that position, or for that draft position. But you compare that to like what the Rams did and the Eagles did, where they were at like 190, 200%, or, very close to it. And, for that position, they got a good bargain. If they were trading for any other spot on their roster, it would have been a huge overspend.
Buffalo Bills, I mean, looking ahead, the general thinking is that Buffalo want to get up there into the top few picks. So let's say they do a trade with the Giants, and the current thinking appears to be, give the Giants the Bills 2 first round picks, I guess 12 and 21 or 22, a couple of second round picks and a first round pick next year. The two questions that, because we know it's going to be a quarterback at 2, and B, how do you determine the trade value of the 2019 first round pick? Do you just kind of go for the middle of the round?
Yeah, so you can. So typically for the next year, you discount it by a round right off the bat. So their first round pick in 2019 is the equivalent of a 2018 second round pick. At that point, it kind of depends on the team and their particular methodology. Most places I've seen have just said, okay, it's the number 16 pick of the following round. So the Bills number, or the Bills first round pick next year, is worth the 16th pick in the second round next year. Other teams have said, no, we're going to divvy it up into, quarters, and say that they're going to be in the bottom quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, and kind of mid-range that particular pick. So if a team is very confident that Buffalo is going to be, a bottom third team, then they might say, instead of valuing it at the 16th overall pick, they might value it at the 10th overall pick in that second round. So that's how you do kind of future. If you're telling me that 2 years from now you can project which quadrant a team is going to be in, we can go into business together and make a lot of money. So anytime you go 2 years past, it's going to be discounted by 2 rounds, and you're always going to take the middle of the pack. And if you want to be conservative, you can even take like maybe the 20th pick of that round instead, if you're going to go 2 years down the line. As far as what Buffalo would have to pay to get up to that second spot, the Jets have kind of set the market and said, okay, you're going to have to pay about 170%, 175% over value. For the Bills to pull that off, just from the combinations of picks that they had, and this goes back into what I was saying with the Giants being able to give change on kind of this value basis, it would take, both their first-round picks, it would take all of their second-round picks, and then it would take a little bit more if they want to pay that 175 or 200% premium that most top two picks that have been quarterbacks have demanded over the past 4 or 5 years. So can they do it? They absolutely can. Can the Giants kind of bluff their way into convincing the Bills that they're going to take a quarterback, or they have a deal in place for another pick? That's another thing entirely, and that's something else that'll drive the value. But if you go off the path several times, it's going to be tough for Buffalo to move up to 2.
I think Buffalo is going to call their bluff at 2. Who else is going to trade up there and pay the exorbitant amount of price? Buffalo is the only one who wants to right now.
Denver? Arizona?
Case Keenum. Mm. Arizona has their guy. They're set on quarterback. They're focusing on next year. Only the Bills are looking for that.
Whoa! Ar- Arizona is set at quarterback?
Well, they do. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
They signed Bradford on a one-year deal.
They don't have the draft capital to move up to two.
Oh, so they're set by default?
Oh, maybe the Bills will have to pay it. I'm saying I don't think they will.
Well, we'll find out soon enough if they're the Buffalo Bills or the Buffalo Bills. But, hey, James. Sorry, guys. Thanks very much, James. That I feel I've learned something. I'm sure the other guys have too, and you, listener. So thanks for that, and we'll crack on now with the rest of these free agent teams. And we're back to the New York Jets. So, Patrick, the New York Jets, they've also got a Vikings quarterback. Who hasn't got a Vikings quarterback? They've got Teddy Bridgewater, Tremaine Johnson, Isaiah Crowell, and I kind of feel the Jets are a team who have gotten better, also with the trade that they've done in this off season. I think there's a plan and there's a upward curve there for the Jets. What do you think?
I agree. Like Mo Wilkerson, good player, bad person, probably better off without him. Matt Forte, old and busted. Safarian Jenkins I liked, but otherwise I don't think they lost anybody that they didn't replace with better players. So overall, upward trend for the Jets continues. Hopefully they don't figure out their quarterback problem and they just moved up to aggressively draft the next Mark Sanchez, which is lost in all of this, by the way, that the quarterback prospects, maybe not so great. I don't know if you want to mortgage your future to go after these guys, but yeah, I think the Jets did what they could to get better this offseason.
How have they not figured out to get a decent running back, you have to draft one of them instead of just bringing in these middle-tier running backs over and over and over again? This is the third offseason in a row they've done this.
Well, there's nothing to say that they won't draft a running back, especially in a deep class of running backs. And if the rest of their roster is reasonably rounded out, there's obviously no reason to do that. Plus, you need a stable of running backs. Gone are the days where you just have one guy carrying the football. Like the Patriots always carry five and use them all over the course of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see the Oakland Raiders. Oh, blimey, Ken, the Oakland Raiders. They've brought in a whole load of guys. And hey, guys, if a team sort of brings in like a dozen plus guys and gets rid of a dozen plus guys, isn't that a little bit worrying?
Yes. A young playoff team, and now they're not.
Mm-hmm. I'm buying a big John Gruden jersey, and then if I ever make my way up to LA to watch a game, I'm bringing a sign, 10 more years of Gruden, and then next year it'll be 9 more years of Gruden, and then the next year it'll be 8 more years of Gruden. It's hilarious. They got a TV commentator as their coach.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Patrick. I remember when he was Ken wasn't born when he was a coach before, but we both remember that. And he was never a great coach. He could talk the talk.
Yeah, he was a TV face before he was a TV commentator. Like he would stand on the sidelines and make grimaces looking at his players on the field. And then they'd interview him. He'd talk about how he was at work every day at 4 a.m. Like that means he accomplished something, other than like having a terrible relationship with his wife. Whoops, shouldn't have said that, I guess. But we'll see what he does. We'll see what he does. So far, it's not looking great.
No, I feel Monty. I feel sorry for you, man. It's I'm not confident with Gruden coming back. He should have stayed in the booth. Right, Philadelphia Eagles team in my division. They brought in Michael Bennett and Haloti Ngata to supplement that defensive line. They lost a lot of guys, but I kind of feel the Eagles are in a good position and probably even slightly better than they were last year. Patrick, were you sighing there?
No, was that out loud? I didn't mean that to be out loud.
Ken, what do you think?
We've talked about cap hell. The Eagles are in cap heaven. They have the most balanced roster financially, and it allows them to make moves like bringing in Haloti Ngata and Michael Bennett, and the rich get richer. They did have to lose Vinny Curry. I think that goes under the radar and isn't talked about much because he's a great player, but the Eagles are going to be in a really good position for a long time because they have Wentz under contract and still have
Thanks, Ken. That's enough. Bloody Philadelphia Eagles. Right. Pittsburgh Steelers, your little lapdogs there, Patrick. They brought in John Bostic from the Colts, Morgan Burnett from the Packers, but still lost a couple of players. Of course, they've got their franchise guy and Le'Veon Bell. Are you trembling, struggling to sleep at night, thinking of the Steelers?
No. Why would I struggle to think it? No. The biggest loss the Steelers suffered was losing Greg from our podcast. But otherwise, no, I don't care about the Steelers.
Ken?
I mean, good luck handling those personalities within the next couple of years.
Indeed, yeah. Right, San Francisco 49ers. Down there, San Francisco, they brought in Richard Sherman from the Seahawks, of course. And they did also lose Logan Paulson, the tight end, Brandon Fusco, offensive guard. Not a lot of movement there in San Francisco. But Sherman, is he going to work out, do you think, once he gets over his injuries? Ken?
Oh, yeah. I mean, San Francisco, right now is the time to hop on the bandwagon. I'm certainly hopping right on because they're an NFC team from California. Let's go. You know, they have a great head coach. I think they have a good GM. They have a franchise quarterback. You know, they made some cool free agent signings. I think they're going to be not as good as everyone is going to expect them to be next year, but I think they'll make the playoffs.
You know, you say they've got a franchise quarterback, and let's be clear, he has looked pretty good so far in his 7 career starts. But defenses are going to work him out eventually, and then it's a question of can he then take the next step? Do you think he can do that, Patrick? You know him better than anyone.
No.
He's got a great coach. He's got a great coach.
Yeah.
Great offensive coach.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll know better this time next year how good Garoppolo is going to be. I think they've overpaid him or taken a big risk on overpaying him.
I don't know, man. Like, all right, so a little bit of sour grapes saying no there, right? Because anybody that listened to this podcast for the last 2 years has heard me say a multitude of times, I want to trade Tom Brady and build around Jimmy Garoppolo and force that transition, sell while the market's high on Brady, right? I am livid that we got a basically middling second round pick for a franchise quarterback. Who's better looking than Tom Brady, for the love of God. So that all sucks. Kenny, did they get better or worse? I don't know. Like, is Garoppolo an upgrade? Yes, but that happened last year. Like, that doesn't count as this offseason. And he played really well at the end of the year, like when he did play. So that's my long take on the Garoppolo situation.
Yeah, I think the one thing you can say is you did seem to get hardly anything for the guy at the end of the day. Yeah, it's bizarre for that to happen to the Patriots, because you're normally the guys who come out as winners in these trades. So
long time since that was true. We should dedicate an entire podcast to the fall of the Belichick Empire. Because, like, I feel like the Visigoths are at the gates here. Like, I really do.
Slow down there, Bill Simmons. We're not doing an entire podcast on that.
I tell you, listener,
an entire podcast on the Patriots.
Listener, that's something certain to look forward to. And I know that, unfortunately, I won't make it, Patrick. I've got some paint here on the wall that I'll have to watch drying. Otherwise, I've been there. But, hey. Mm-hmm. More Patriots. That's what we need. More Patriots. Right. Leaving the Patriots behind for a moment, at least. Moving to the Seattle Seahawks. A team in complete and utter disarray, Patrick, with losing Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, Jimmy Graham, Sheldon Richardson, Luke Wilson, no Averill anymore. Cam Chancellor possibly gone as well. And who knows? You've got a safety there in Errol Thomas, who appears to be on the trade block. In a very similar sort of scenario we saw with Sherman last year with all the trade talk. Are we seeing the end of one of the great defenses?
Yes, and it's kind of sad to think about it because, like, I don't know anybody that could objectively say that this team is better now than they were a year ago. even like, I like Mingo. Hey, that's great. Ed Dixon's fine. That's like the best that they did in free agency. Meanwhile, it's like they're dismantling their team. Due to both like the convergence of bad contracts and bad play from aging players, right? And all of this is happening while Russell Wilson is in the prime of his career. So it's like this is going to be a sad, sad couple of years from that perspective, that they have the problem solved at quarterback and the rest of their team is going to fall apart while they should be taking an opportunity with it.
Mm. I think we'll look back in 5 years and realize just how great a defense this was at the time. Truly a great defense. I think, you know, Patrick, I think you killed the Seahawks on
Yay.
One play. That play where Malcolm Butler made that interception and they lost the Super Bowl, I think somehow that was the start of the decline for the Seattle Seahawks. And, yeah, they'll be fine because they've got Wilson at quarterback, but...
Let's pretend I lived in a world where I had like seven figures to just completely waste. I would fly out to Seattle and I would buy the equivalent space of a parking lot space directly across from the stadium, and I would erect a statue of Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, Malcolm Butler, eh? What a story.
I'm ready for Earl Thomas to be traded to the Chargers, and we can just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah, good player, but a great player. But was he back from injury last year, 100%?
No.
Yeah, well, if Garoppolo is worth a second-round pick, then Errol Thomas will be worth what, fourth-rounder?
It's hilarious because that's kind of what NFL trades have become recently, but he's worth way more than that.
Yeah,
and I think
veteran players, huh?
Yeah, the Chargers don't make trades, but I would love to see Thomas in a Chargers uniform.
Right, last couple of teams then, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They have brought in a lot of defensive linemen. Obviously, they brought in JPP today, Bo Allen from the Eagles, Vinny Curry from the Eagles. Obviously, looking to improve their pass rush. I think they were last in the league in pass rush last year. And, of course, they've got rid of Doug Martin, the muscle hamster, who's off to join Mr. Gruden there at the Raiders. They got rid of Chris Baker, Nick Folk. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, disappointing team last year, Ken, but will it be better this year?
Depends on if Jameis Winston gets his crap together. I don't really particularly think their team is all that great. I don't see the direction in which they're going, so it really comes down to whether Winston is good or not.
I mean, if you're improving your defensive line, your pass rush, you probably are. I'm not sure they really lost anybody either, right? Like, they lost Chandler Catanzaro. Ooh. Right? So, like, yeah, they got better.
Okay, Tennessee Titans. And, hey, Patrick, where's Tennessee? Is that in the South?
That is in the South, I would say.
So, can we call them then the New England Patriots of the South? Because they've signed... a chap called Malcolm Butler, who you may know from the Patriots, and also Dion Lewis from the Patriots.
Yeah.
Two fine players.
And they re-signed a guard formerly of the New England Patriots. They released Matt Cassell of the Patriots. We got a hold of, you know, their cornerback, whose twin brother plays for the Patriots. Mm. Yeah, so there's a lot of ties to New England there, one way or the other.
The GM is an ex-Patriots guy, isn't he?
I believe so.
Robinson.
Yeah, but are we asking, did they get better or worse?
Yes, we are.
Is it cheating to say they remain the same? Like, Butler and Lewis are both really good players, starting caliber players that they signed. Lost to Marco Murray, who's declining. I don't know if any of their other losses are significant. Carl Kluge.
Yes, there's one significant loss. Their coach. Their coach. They got better the moment that coach was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think that's
right,
fair.
Better then.
I would also say they're better. I like the coaching change. I also like that Malcolm Butler will come into the secondary, which was probably their weakest position group from last year. And Lewis gives them a completely different style of back to what they've had in the last couple of years with two guys who were pretty much the same.
All right. Can I ask you, Neil, how you feel about the Washington Redskins?
How do I feel about the Washington Redskins? Patrick, we could have a podcast on that. Following up the Patriots one, we could do a Washington one.
All right, man, calm down.
I'm happy with Alex Smith. I think a cheaper option at quarterback, probably slightly better than Kirk Cousins overall, but obviously he'll be there for 2 or 3 years. We signed Paul Richardson. We lacked speed on offense last year. Skandrick, I don't like Orlando Skandrick at all. I don't know what the hell we signed him for. I would say we're probably about the same as we were last year, but I do think we are a team, when we're fit, that's getting better. I think our moves are good. Glad we didn't go out and spend crazy money on somebody. We're looking at Jonathan Hankins. He's one of the guys we would like, and he would certainly help improve our team.
It's a shame that your GM got ousted for being an alcoholic, because he was a good GM.
He was a good talent evaluator for sure. What do you think, Patrick? Do you think Washington are on their way back?
That's a different question, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't think so. Sorry.
Thanks, Patrick.
I'm not seeing a lot of big progress here. I'm seeing Alex Smith is an older, somewhat better version of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
You swapped Skandrick for Kendall Fuller. Probably not a positive move there.
Definitely not. Yeah. Well, I think the quarterback change. I think also just to get the whole Kirk Cousins saga out of the building is probably a positive step for us. So we don't have to sit and talk about that endlessly. That will certainly help the team. Right, guys. That's it. We've got one or two more things to throw out here. I'm going to ask you guys a simple question. Give me a team for the following free agents, the sort of top guys that are left. One team each, okay? So, Ndamukong Suh, where does he play next year, Patrick?
Jeff Fisher's not aligned to anybody anymore, huh? let's go with Seattle.
Okay. Ken?
Rams.
Okay. Kenny Vaccaro, safety from the Saints last year.
I've got a jersey waiting for him in San Diego for the right price.
Okay, Patrick.
Colts.
Yeah, maybe. Eric Reed. Eric Reed, the guy who may not be getting signed because of protests that he made last year. Where does he end up? San Francisco safety.
New England.
Ken.
That makes sense. I would hate to see that.
Yeah. Jonathan Hankins, defensive tackle who was at the Colts last year. Bit of a surprise cut. Patrick?
I would love to say the Patriots. That's not going to happen. Miami?
He's had visits to Washington and Detroit in the last week. What do you think, Ken?
Yeah, I'm not sure why the Chargers haven't sent a plane out to get him either. But let's go with Detroit. They just lost Nada. That makes sense.
That's the wrong answer, Ken. Washington is the correct answer. That's where I hope he goes. Although I think his asking price is quite high. I think that's why he hasn't really signed anywhere as yet. All right, guys, we've got a little bit of admin to do, and that is we are short of super fans, which is becoming a problem. Now you can, guys, if you want to have some NFL talk and some Next Fan Up podcast talk happening there too, is to go to Facebook, to the NFL Talk All 32 group. That's NFL Talk All 32. And they obviously are talking all 32 teams. And have a look on there. And if you want to become a super fan of either the Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Pittsburgh Steelers, New York Giants, Tennessee Titans, Cincinnati Bengals, Denver Broncos, or LA Rams, then have a look on there. You can find some guys there. And if you want to be a super fan, come and join us. And you can interact with me and Patrick and Ken, which, hey, who wouldn't want that? Hey, Patrick?
That's right. That's right, ladies.
My girlfriend.
Ken is on the podcast.
Yep. We can cover any age range between Ken, who's 17, and Patrick, who's 42. Did you say, Patrick? Wow.
I said 40, as a matter of fact. I said 3 weeks older than 40. Tom Brady, not 2 years. Yep.
Ah, okay. So come and join us on the Next Fan Up podcast. We've got a super fan mock draft coming up, and we desperately need you to come on there and make the picks for your team. Because if you don't, then Jay's just going to make the picks, and they'll just be horrendous. He's already getting it so badly wrong with pick number 2. What's it going to be like when he gets to pick number 40?
Kickers and punters.
All the super fans out there, PSA, if Baker Mayfield starts to fall, I will trade up for him.
Ooh. Do you have any other hot takes for us, Ken, before we go?
No, I just love Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield has New York Jets written all over him.
You think so?
But
Brooklyn Baker?
For a different day.
Yeah. What about you, Patrick? Any final words?
Support your New England Patriots by apparel.
Oof. I think we'll cut that bit. All right, guys. It's been good, and we might have a draft podcast on Sunday. And if not, then this is the point where Jay comes in and says something about some razors that he's using for his legs.
Why, thank you, Neil. It's my pleasure now to talk about my favorite part of the podcast, and that is all about Harry's. Harry's has been around for quite some time now. It was started by two ordinary guys, Jeff and Andy. Now, I don't know if they shave their legs. I know I don't, Mr. Neil. In any case, you could use them all the time without getting charged an arm and a leg for those razor blades. This is the whole idea behind the company that Jeff and Andy started with Harry's. It was to make sure that they were taking care of the guy that, you know, just wanted a good razor blade for way less than the price that they were having to pay because of the unnecessary middleman. So Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, just like I do, that they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/nextfanup. All you're going to do is pay for shipping. To claim your free trial from Harry's today, it's a $13 value for free when you sign up. You're just going to cover the shipping. Your free trial set will include a weighted ergonomic razor handle, the 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade. That trimmer blade comes in handy. Now that I don't have the full beard, I like to trim right underneath my nose, keep my mustache away from my nostril hairs. Yes, trimmer blade, very important. The rich lathering shave gel, which I like to say gives you that nice man smell. You're not using the fluorescent flower edition or the peachy keen smells that my wife often makes me use because she's too cheap to buy 2 different shave gels. And the travel blade cover, that's always important, especially when you're traveling like I was, which is why I was not on today's podcast. So to get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/nextfanup right now. That's harrys.com/nextfanup.
And he then says something about his ongoing feud with, is it AJ McCarron he's got the ongoing feud with? I think it is, isn't it?
And it's Andy Dalton.
Right, guys. Thank you very much. And hey, have a good afternoon over there across the pond.
We will. We will.
I never even heard his interview. So I don't know the context in which it was said. I don't know what he said before. I don't know what he said after. So I still haven't seen it. I'm not going to watch. I don't care, you know. But, you know, I've got no ill will towards Jay. There's no feud between me and Jay. I think we lost the game. He said what he said. And, you know, we're moving on. That's in the past now.